There are 51 more Democrats in Texas now than there were at the beginning of the week. Democratic lawmakers who had fled to a motel in Oklahoma have now returned home, having effectively dodged a redistricting vote that would have weakened their presence in the U.S. Congress. The controversial redistricting plan is believed to be the work of Republican Congressman and Majority Leader Tom DeLay. Two longtime students of Texas politics join us. Dave McNeely is a columnist for the Austin American Statesman and joins us from member station KUT in Austin. Mr. McNeely, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
And joining us by telephone from her home in Maryland is Maria Recio, who's Washington correspondent for the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Ms. Recio, thank you for being with us.
Delighted to be here.
I'm not sure I understand why this plan for redistricting is coming 2.5 years after the last census.
It's because Tom DeLay wants it that way. He is very tenacious, very determined, very ideological, and he believes that Texas, as a majority Republican state, which it is now, should have a majority congressional representation. It is his home state. He is majority leader of the United States House, and he wants more Republicans. And currently, the delegation is, astonishingly enough, majority Democrat. We have 17 Democrats and 15 Republicans representing Texas. And, you know, I think that every morning when Tom DeLay goes down to the House and, you know, and sees all the names list up on the floor, I mean, that's just like a dagger in his heart. Mm-hmm. He hates to see that. And he was just determined to change it. So he used all of his persuasive powers and abilities and forceful personality to make this happen. And then the Democrats hightailed it out of the state and at least for now have denied it to him.
But Mr. McNeely, were you covering Texas politics 12 years ago?
Yeah.
I'm trying to understand what happened in 1990 with redistricting that enabled 17 Democrats to get in. I'm trying to think. Was there a Democratic governor then in 1990?
Well, in 1991, when they were doing the redistricting, there was a Democratic governor,
yeah.
Ann Richards. And the Democrats had control of both the Texas House and Senate at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And the district that they drew were very creative. Some of the districts looked like Rorschach inkblot tests. The Republicans were completely correct in saying this was hugely gerrymandered. And they object now because they say since the judges, when they redrew the plan in 2001, more or less respected those incumbents, that you've got a plan that's going to be hanging around for 19 or 20 years, essentially.
So they were trying to essentially give them the same treatment they felt they received 12 years ago.
That's right.
Well,
they wanted
also,
to.
There's been this real sea change in Texas since then, too, that's important to note,
mm-hmm.
that of 29 elected statewide offices, every single one is held by a Republican.
And the other thing is I think there were something like 22 Democrats whose districts were protected in 1991. Well, every time one of them has retired or moved on, or some of them have even gotten beaten, that five of those districts had been taken over by Republicans in the interim.
Mm-hmm.
So the Democrats have been steadily losing ground.
And the Texas House, the one thing you asked before, why are we doing it 3 years later? Well, for the first time in 130 years, Republicans control the Texas House, which is where this vote was going to be. So that's why, you know, the Republicans were, you know, feeling their oats. They could really make this happen. But the Democrats, you know, did them one better by denying them the quorum call.
Let me ask you about the political profile of Representative DeLay back home in Texas. He also announced this week that he didn't think there were the votes in the House to renew the current ban on assault weapons. And then on Friday, he kind of got upbraided by the Speaker of the House, Dennis Hastert, who said, well, you know, I really haven't decided that,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to the man who is his ostensible subordinate. Is Tom DeLay still a power to be reckoned with in Texas politics?
In Texas politics, I think they really don't give that much thought to DeLay. There's more separation than you might think. And the only time really that the...
I mean, he doesn't have a patronage holding back home, unlike a governor, for example, or a state...
No, but one of the things that he has done is as a matter of fact, this year he's started bringing soft money to Texas to try to influence the state house elections. And that was part of the way that they gained the majority that they have. He's got Texans for a Republican majority, and he contributed $75,000 to that from his own Americans for a Republican majority PAC. So basically what they're doing is funneling lobby money collected at the federal level through to Texas.
And there's always his power as majority leader. I mean, if someone, you know, really needs a bridge in that district, you know, Tom DeLay can make it happen. I mean, he's extremely powerful. I did want to comment on the assault weapon ban. I was actually in the room when he told his weekly briefing that, you know, there just weren't the votes there. And what was striking about that was he even used the kind of terminology that he would have used when he was majority whip. He's only been majority leader since January, and I think we're seeing him having to adjust to that role because the whip is less visible, I mean, very powerful, and he was an extremely powerful whip, but someone who counts votes. Now he finds himself much more visible on policy, and, you know, I think he's sort of learning that people really do respond to what he says. And I thought it was, I think it's been an instructive week for him.
What happens next week? Is redistricting in Texas now shelved as an issue?
It's shelved for the time being, at least, Scott. After midnight Thursday, the only way it could be considered is if the governor declares it an emergency for this legislative session, or he includes it in the call for a special legislative session. The legislature in Texas can't meet other than in its regular session unless called to do so by the governor, who decrees what will be considered.
And actually, what's interesting is at this very same session where DeLace got ahead of the speaker on the assault weapon ban, he also seemed to have gotten ahead of the governor because, you know, I asked him, well, what's going to happen next? And he said, well, he understood that the governor was going to call a special session. What's been interesting is that Governor Rick Perry, who is, of course, also a Republican, has been very circumspect. Isn't that right, Dave? And just very reluctant to say what he's going to do on a special session with redistricting.
On Thursday, I think he said, as far as he was concerned, this was over and a dead issue, but he hasn't ruled out including it in the call of a special session. So thus far, he's been noncommittal on that.
Well, nice talking to both of you. We'll use any opportunity to talk about Texas politics. Thanks very much.
Okay, thank you.
Dave, thanks for taking the time and trouble to do this.
Dave McNeely covers and writes a column on politics and government. Boy, does that sound like a fun beat. For the Austin American Statesman, he joined us from our member station KUT there in Austin, and Maria Recio of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram speaking from Maryland.
Just remember Lloyd Benson's observation that in Texas, we consider politics a contact sport.
Even if it involves running across the state line.